This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Today's guest on The Truman Show in this best of rebroadcast, the one and only Bud Rakes, former principal at Smyrna High School, where they actually will be honoring him tonight at the football game. Thought it would be a good opportunity to highlight Mr. Bud Rakes on this best of broadcast.
Now we have a legend in Smyrna and in education, and also a legend in coaching, because Bud Rakes has a resume that can't be matched anywhere. And I want to let you know before we get started, Bud, that I want to help pay the bill and talk about somebody important, and that's Mark Pirtle and John Howerton, who have Pirtle and Howerton Automotives in Shevaville at 2006 North Main Street. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll-free. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, that's the place to go. Take a 20-minute drive down 231 South toward Shevaville. Just before you get into town, up on a hill on your left, you'll see Pirtle Howerton. And you can't go to a place where you can be represented more with the style of this community and this part of the country, because they want you in there. They want to talk to you. They want to have a good time, and they want to be able to try to help you as much as possible. So take a ride down there. Bud, you shocked the whole community the other day when you announced your retirement, and I think it was probably a little early because you really haven't been in the business that long. And why did you leave so early?
I guess because I didn't like the job.
You know, as long as Smyrna has been here, and the high school has been in Smyrna, there's only been two principals. And there must be something about Smyrna, because I know that you guys, when you live in Smyrna, that's it. I mean, Smyrna, the people stick together. It's one big family there. And I know that when I think of Smyrna, I think of a few families, even though, of course, it goes much deeper than that. But I think of you. I think of the Ridleys, of course, who name is synonymous with Smyrna. And I think of the Colemans and the Victories and the Howells and people like that. It must be special growing up in a place like that, because that's been your home almost your entire life.
Yes, it was for me. I don't know. I guess I just took all that for granted and never really looked at it as even going to school, or especially after I started working there as a job. It was more like just something I was doing. And even that, it's sort of hard for me to think I'm not there anymore, because most of my thoughts even right now tend to be back with the school with little things, because as I told my wife, because she and I, we talked about it a lot. I don't have any hobbies. The school was always my hobby. And of course, she worked there with me for 20-something years, and it was hers too to a certain extent. She went to school at Smyrna, and she and I dated during our days. We dated about 6 or 7 years, and we got married. And of course, we'll be married 52 years.
Wow.
Be August 22nd. But I guess just took for granted when my dad moved there from Christiana. I was born in Milton, and we moved to Christiana with my dad and mother and my sister, Billie Jean. And after that, Dad got a job working on heavy equipment, or greasing heavy equipment, when they were building the air base. Mm-hmm. And then Dad got a job and was a civil service worker there and retired there. He was on the county commission here, which he was very proud of. And he commended all the time about working with the gentlemen and ladies there, and in trying to help Rutherford County. But it's always been really not a job for me. It's just something I've enjoyed doing. I never looked at it as a job, really.
Now, who was your principal when you were at Smyrna?
Mr. J.J. McWilliams. He came there in 1950, and he was principal for 23 years and passed away in 1973, and they appointed me principal that year. And between us two, we were there for 61 years. Now, they did have other principals before me. Mm-hmm. Mr. Moore was there during the years that I was in elementary school, and Mr. Phillips was there. But school at that time was a pretty rough school at one time, and they brought Mr. McWilliams in, and it didn't take him long to straighten things out. And even myself, he got a hold of me real early in my years there at Smyrna. He and I become friends pretty quick.
I have heard a lot of tales on him, and it seems like that when you became principal, a lot of the ways that he dealt with the school were the same way that you did. It seemed like that he was kind of like a role model for you.
He was. He was someone that he was sort of like a second daddy to me. I didn't really need another daddy. My daddy was excellent, and he supported the school, supported Mr. Mike Williams. But Mr. Mike was someone I idolized, and he didn't ever say a whole lot, but I sort of watched him, how he did things, and we actually followed the way he did them. We did them the same way even up to now, but you have to do it a little bit different. You can't be quite as direct as he was in his days.
Now, did the airport at that time, the air base, did it have a lot of influence on Smyrna School at that time?
Oh, it sure did, because we had, kids were moving in and out. Mm-hmm. They were great kids we had, because most all of them were well-disciplined, because mm-hmm. their parents were in the service, and that was where they were brought up. But if things didn't work out right for them, it seemed like Mr. Mike always had a way to contact someone there on the base, that if their kids didn't straighten up, they found themselves stationed somewhere else.
Now, I know you guys probably accepted these kids in from the base. I mean, they were just like they were lived in Smyrna most of their lives, because I know we used to get some over here. Not many, but Smyrna got most of them.
Yes, that's certainly true, because you see even now, a lot of the people came back to Smyrna to live when they retired, their parents. Mm-hmm. So they accepted the community there at Smyrna, and the kids mixed in with the Smyrna kids, and they were great friends. Sometime when they have a reunion, it's sort of hard to find some of those kids because they're scattered all over the country. But the ones that do come back are really excited about coming back to Smyrna, because it was a great time in their life. But to answer your question about accepting them, yes, I think our people accept them real well.
And you played ball at Smyrna. You played football.
I tried to play. I played football and basketball both at Smyrna under a lot of different coaches when I was there, because they changed quite a bit. And I played, as I said, football and basketball.
Now, of course, I went to school at Murfreesboro Central. And was there much animosity toward Murfreesboro Central from Smyrna? And I know Smyrna was kind of a place in its own, and I think everybody else was kind of considered an outsider, if I remember right.
I think probably was, because Central was a bigger school and they got more of the publicity, so it was probably the same way with the other county schools towards Smyrna, if it was looked at that way. But we all probably always wanted to be what Central was, and of course sometimes that's good, because it makes you work harder. At least in sports it was that way.
I'm not too sure that's the way it was. I think Smyrna wanted everybody to be like they were, is what we're talking about.
Well, if you did on our girls. Now, girls basketball during that time was extremely good. Under
Coach Howell. They really were.
People idolized them and wanted to be like them. The boys team that we played on, we were okay, but we weren't anything like the girls were, and probably we weren't quite as good ability. Maybe didn't work as hard as they did. I don't know what the difference was, but the girls' team was exceptionally well, and Mr. Howell, he set some standards there that was hard to follow, but when Coach Gill, he picked it up in later years.
Coach Harry Gill? I mean, the names are just go on forever. I mean, Pusher Howell was a great coach, but he was a great disciplinarian, and so was Harry. And it seems like that the bloodline stayed right there in Smyrna. They didn't move.
Well, they practiced hard. I can remember seeing Mr. Howell sit in the floor at the end of the gym and during practice have the girls shooting a set shot. Mm-hmm. Back then, they shot a one-hand runner and a hook shot and a saw the layback on the goal for the spotting girl, and the outside girl shot a set shot and a drive, and that was about it, and depending on whether they double-teamed or played you straight up. But he'd sat there and practice, and maybe a girl shoot it 40 or 50 times, because his idea was if you practice shooting in the same place enough, eventually you're going to hit it, because we were playing one night, I remember, and it seemed like the girl missed 20 shots and 30 shots somewhere in that line, and he told her to keep shooting. Before the night was over, the girl had scored 40-something points. So, So the confidence of it and what he thought, certainly practice, and you know, you sort of practice what you preach, and you get better as you practice. And in that particular case, he did well with it.
When you graduated from Smyrna, did you ever have it in your mind that you would stay in Smyrna and you would coach and maybe eventually take Mr. McWilliams' place as the principal there?
Well, not as principal, but when I was in the seventh grade, they started football back there, and a coach by the name of Moody Bain was a coach that started the program. He let me be his manager in the seventh and eighth grade. And somewhere in the seventh, eighth grade, I decided that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach and coach, and I wanted to come back to Smyrna. That was all the goal I ever had, and that's really how I got back when Mr. Mack was still principal there. And he brought me back to coach. I was a 7th, 8th grade boys basketball coach and helped Coach Jack Jolly, who you know very well, who lives here in Murfreesboro. I was his assistant for 2 years, and then Mr. Jolly left, and Mr. Mack offered me the head football coach, and I think I was like 23-year-old, maybe 24. And I said, I'd like to have it, but I'd also like to have the basketball job. He said, what do you want with the basketball job? I said, well, I've always wanted to coach them both, and if I don't get a chance now, I may never get a chance. So he said, it's yours. So I got to coach them both, and I was very proud to do that.
Did you get to socialize much with Coach Pate? Of course, he wasn't big on socializing, as everybody knows anyway. But I just wondered if you sometimes you would share information.
Not really. I watched what he did because he was successful, and his mannerisms and what people would say or different people would say about him. And but as far as us being friends, we're not. But I think we had to respect for each other.
Yeah, I know he had a lot of respect for you because you were like him. You were a disciplinarian. You believed in getting 100% out of every player, and you wanted to make sure that they were successful, whether it was on the court or on the ball field or in the classroom. And that's carried on. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, I have known a lot of people in my time that were originally from Smyrna, grew up in Smyrna, and there's one thing that they all have in accord with, is that they all had a lot of respect for you, great respect. And I've known quite a few characters that you had in football. And some of my best friends, Pusher's son, Bubba Howe, he always spoke in almost like in grandeur-type terms when he would talk about playing football for you and how much he loved playing for you.
Bubba was something else. As I told you earlier, I wasn't one for celebrating when a kid did something exciting as they do now. Bubba's daddy had told him to do something exciting when he scored, so Bubba scored a touchdown and he turned a flip in the end zone, which didn't meet very well with me, but he did what his daddy told him to do. But Bubba was always a Smyrna guy. Even though his son went to Riverdale, Bubba was always Smyrna, and I really think deep down he really loved for his son to have played at Smyrna, but he was a good football player, played center for Riverdale. And sad that Bubba's gone because he was a great guy.
Yes, and he left much too soon, just like, well, so did Pusher. Pusher left at an early age. But Judge Roy Beans, he keeps saying he's his grandson, but I know better than that. You had Aubrey. Now, what kind of football player was Aubrey? Because I know he was tough as nails.
He's just like you said, he was tough. He played some for me. He also played for Coach Young during the couple of years I was out of coaching. He was just tough. I mean, he'd run through that wall for you and always happy-go-lucky, and still seems to be that way. You know?
He is.
I haven't seen him lately, but I hear about him in often different time. But Aubrey's a good friend of mine, and I enjoy talking to him at times.
Now, how was Harry? Now, of course, everybody knows Harry Gill, and Of course, he's too old to have played for you. In fact, he's not too much younger than you, is he?
Well, he played on one of our better teams, the 1967 team, and Donnie Holland, Harry Gill.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Donnie. Donnie's great.
Ed Davenport, Sammy Green, Dickie Strong, number of kids, G.E. Davis that has since passed away. But Harry was a good player. He was a tackle for us. He always liked to wear a neck roll some way. But he never tied it in front. He always let it hang out on the sides. But he was a good ball player. His daddy was a great supporter of us. But his brother Joe actually was the first kicker I ever had. Really the first extra point field goal kicker we ever had at Smyrna. And he kicked for me. And then Harry followed up kicking. And then Jay played later on. Mm-hmm. But Harry was a real good player. He likes to tell this story. We were playing Cookeville, and we had played Cookeville the year before at Smyrna when Watson Brown and Mac Brown, the head coach of Texas, was on the team, and we beat them in Smyrna. It was 19-12 or something like that. But we played Cookeville High School on the first game ever played in Cookeville, the Tennessee Tech's new field there. Mm-hmm. And it's in the afternoon, and we get a kid named Hosey Brown. Some of them played for us, but come down to it, we were tied. The game was 13-13, and I put Harry in to kick the extra point. I thought we'd win it, but one. Well, Harry missed the extra point, and we end up tying the game. Well, on the way back, he tells us that he knew I was going to come and see him before we got back to Smyrna. Well, about the time we pulled in the city limits of Smyrna, I got up and journeyed back to where he's at, and he said he'd already got over in the corner of the seat because he knew I was coming, and I asked him, Harry, what happened on that extra point? He said, Coach, I saw three balls. I said, why in the heck didn't you kick the middle one then? And he always said I didn't say it exactly that way, but he dreaded me coming back. But like I said, he was tired. What he said it was happened to him. He was just too tired, and he saw three balls, but he missed it, and just one of the experiences I had with a lot of guys there.
And he became the first superintendent of school from Smyrna.
And he
really has done a great job.
He really has done an excellent job, because I'm very proud of him, because even though he's a man and he's actually my boss the last few years, I look at him as one of my boys.
I guarantee you he looked at it that way too.
But under trying times, he followed Hewlin Watson, who Hewlin did an exceptionally good job in Rufford County Schools. They are all in a position to be criticized all the time. It really doesn't make any difference. Like, I guess, any position you got, it might be considered a political job. You open to criticism, but he's really done an excellent job for the whole county, not just Smyrna area. Some people probably say, well, he's done this, that for Smyrna. Well, on some things, it's about time we got some things done for Smyrna. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, I think he's done a good job for the whole county, and I think we'll continue to do that.
You've always been able to put out quality people in Smyrna. And one of the people that I've gotten to know quite well over the years, especially in his profession, is Steve Waldron. And he played ball for you. And you know, it's hard for me to look at Steve Waldron in his $1,000 suits and going into the courtroom. I mean, with that air that he has, that you know that he's not going to lose as soon as he walks into the courtroom. How was he on the football field?
Steve was an exceptionally hard worker. Of course, Steve is my brother-in-law, which we didn't say anything about. But he played for me, and he was dating my sister-in-law at the time he played for me, which made it probably a little uncomfortable to a certain extent. But he's a great guy. He's a guy that gives you 110% at whatever he's doing. He finds times to laugh, spends a great deal of time with his grandchildren now and with his two girls and Jerry, his wife. They all are a great family. But we had one set of weights, talking about Steve particularly. We had one set of weights back in the old days when he was playing. And Steve would be in the dressing room there working with those weights. He's doing sit-ups off of a bench with a 50-pound weight. Nobody else hardly ever used them, but Steve was always in there. And he still runs and does all those things now. Very dedicated. He'll give you 110% at whether he's working on a big case or a small case. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, my son-in-law Terry Fan is in business with him, and they're a great team. He's married to my daughter Vicky. They have two children. Drew is just graduated from Vanderbilt. He played on Vanderbilt baseball team, and Chase had just graduated from Oakland High School.
That's amazing. You mixed all yours together. I mean, it's just a perfect blend, because I have worked with both Terry and Steve in a couple of things, and you're talking about the most professional people. They always are going to reach for the highest goal, and they're going to make it. I mean, it's just the way they are. But the thing about those, though, just like Steve, I was telling you earlier before we went on the air, he never has lost his love for Smyrna. I mean, the roots are as deep as anybody as I have ever seen. And I was telling you about a story earlier that I can't tell on the air, but if you do not bleed Smyrna colors, there's something wrong with you. You know, just like the Victories, you know, I grew up knowing them my whole life, but they're the same way, and they feel like that when they give back to the community, they have to give back to Smyrna, because Smyrna will always be their home and will always be their family, and they're just something special that's in Smyrna.
Coon played for me also. He played his senior year of basketball. He'd been under Mr. Jack Jolly for 3 years, and I became the basketball coach at their senior year. We had a great group of guys: Kenny Fergus, Richard Thomas, Laddie Mowry, Lowe McQuarrie, and Coon. Coon was like a coach on the field. He's always been
always
that.
He's always been
a little older than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. He was born old.
Mm-hmm. And does a great job. He lives up on the hill behind me in the big house, and I live on a smaller house down in the bottom there. But he's a great guy, and over
well,
the
he
years,
lives in the next biggest house. Mary Esther right, lives in
Mary,
the biggest.
Mary Esther's got the big one right down the bottom by him there. But they, you know, that's never affected how they treat people.
No.
And of course, I think that came from his daddy and his mother, who the whole family really, really loves each other, and they're a good example of, I think, of Smyrna and how much they mean to each other and how much Smyrna meant to them. Because Mr. Lee Victory there helped us around the school, and you see the different things there in Smyrna that's named after him. So,
and the leadership has always been there. And there's one thing I hate to even bring up is you guys beat Murfreesboro Central a couple of times, and you had that last year that you had an unbelievable team.
Right. The first year we beat them, because these were Mr. Jolly's guys, and I got to coach them, which I was proud to, and I think the boys really enjoyed me coaching me, because I spent whatever amount of time it would take. It didn't make any difference if it was 3 hours or 2 hours. I would coach football and go in and coach basketball for a couple of hours or 3 hours, and most of the boys on that first team didn't play. They didn't play football, but we won like 27-8 games that first year. In between that, we didn't win quite as many, but the last year we beat Central. Last year they were a school, beat them 53-52. George Miller was the guard on that team, and of course George, he works for me now. He went to Roan State and then tried to play at MTSU, but unfortunately wasn't able to do so. And he scored 35 points of that 53 that night that we put Central away. And we used to have a little banner in our trophy case. It was a tiger. It said the last of the Tigers. And our kids like to look at it, but in between that, we lost a lot of games, a lot of games with Central, and Central was they were tough to beat. They were good, and Coach Pate always did an excellent job with them. They were well fundamental, and that's what he did mostly, and well drilled. You knew that going in. And
if I remember right, I believe the refereeing was terrible that night.
Well, that's what Central said. You know. That happens sometimes.
We never got beat unless there's something like that happened.
I do know that, you know, when Central played out at the university at that time, their students only came in for their game, and they would sit on the stage.
That's exactly right.
And they would fill the whole stage up. Mm-hmm. When that game was over, they all get up and leave. It didn't make it if they played the first game or the middle of the game, but when the game was over, they're gone. You know, it's almost like, and I know, certainly I don't think they felt that way, but they may think, well, we're a little above the rest of these, and of course, that made us maybe think that way, which was just a little more desire to win, but same time, didn't anybody beat them very much.
We're going to take a quick break.
You're listening to a best-of broadcast of The Truman Show with today's guest, retired principal at Smyrna High School, Bud Rakes. Again, he'll be honored tonight at the football opener with Battleground Academy at the game tonight. So get out and support Mr. Bud Rakes.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealer may look alike, have the same equipment, be priced the same, but the truth is they are very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has the oil change and tires for life at no additional charge. Save hundreds, even thousands, with their oil change and tires for life when you purchase a new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb. Buy with confidence at Stan McNabb. Learn more at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
There's a gospel singing at 6 o'clock Saturday night over at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church at 1108 West College Street, right behind Chef Wang's. For information, call Pastor Steve Pendergrast at 415-2943. Another Saturday evening 6 o'clock event, the pastor's annual pre-anniversary musical at the Antioch Primitive Baptist Church, 1001 North Spring Street. Gospel singers and musicians from around the area will present an evening of praise. Oh yes, that MTSU football kickoff party is at the beautiful Marymount Mansion on Rucker Lane. That gets underway 6:30 Saturday night, and all proceeds benefit the Rutherford County Alumni Scholarship Fund. They've awarded almost $100,000 in scholarships in the last 5 years. And portraits that are reflective of American nostalgia are on display in the Murfreesboro City Hall Rotunda now through September the 9th. The admission's absolutely free, and this is the beautiful artwork of Jeff Bertrand. Now, next week, the Chamber of Commerce has two special events, one of those on Tuesday night from 5:30 to 7, the Elected Officials Appreciation Barbecue at Corporate Flight Management. That's at the Smyrna Airport. Chamber members, $15, and non-members, $30. That's Tuesday night. And then Wednesday at lunch, the Chamber of Commerce Power Lunch over at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel. The Nashville Predators Executive Vice President and Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, Chris Parker, is the guest speaker. For information on either of these chamber functions, call 893-6565. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather-eye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, high in the mid-90s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Chance of showers and storms, low 73. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 86.
Guardian has over 125 years combined experience in security, fire, camera systems, and access control for your home and business. Contact Guardian at 459-1040 at mygss.com.
Guardian, we help you keep your guard up.
459-1040.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too. I'm a licking my lips now. How about you?
Tom Brady will be delighted to see him there. Tom Brady is the one who rebuilt the mill and is now fully operational. They have breakfasts there on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Nora's in there helping him. And whatever they fixed you is made right there at the mill. And it's an amazing place right on the river. Take about a 10-minute drive out John Bragg Highway. And just before you get out of Rutherford County, you'll see Cripple Creek on the right. Turn left there on the old Woodbury Highway. About a 2-mile drive. Go right over the river. Turn left. And if the parking place is not full, now if it's full, you'll have to turn right. If you get a chance, go out there anyway, because you'll never regret it.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
This is a best of broadcast of the Truman Show with today's guest, retired Smyrna High School principal Bud Rakes, who will be honored at the football game tonight.
You've been under a lot of pressure. Oh, by the way, I think we've mentioned most of your family. Have we left anybody out?
Yeah, I left my other daughter, Kimber Bueller. She's married to Robert. And, they met each other when she was in pharmacy school in Memphis. And when they fell in love, Kimber ended up telling Robert, if you're going to marry me, you're going to have to move back to Murfreesboro, Smyrna area. They lived in Smyrna for a while, but I guess got the itch to move to Murfreesboro for some reason. And moved
up
here.
Oh, my goodness. Is she still part of the family?
Yeah, it took a while. They don't bring any of them bring up anything about moving to Murfreesboro. That's not one of my favorite things to talk about. But
it's the wrong side of the track, right?
Right. Uh-huh. They have two kids. They have a young lady named Cameron who has been to Central Magnet School, but she's going to Oakland this next year. And have a son, Kason, who is over at McFadden. So we have a great family. We're very proud of our two girls. Their mother did a great job of raising them while I was doing everything at school during those years, and she set a great example for them in education and what education meant to them, not only by the example that I tried to set at school, but their mother set for them at home.
And you're talking about education, and education has been great here in this community. It's raised some tremendous leaders here. It's given a sense of everything that's right, that should be right with education. And in my opinion, there hasn't been a lot that's changed in education, except for maybe attitudes at home. I've seen a lot of that, and I saw a lot of it in my profession. And I know that just like anything else in government, if you don't have the full support of the community, and I'm talking about a large segment of the community, it can be very tough to do your job.
Yes, I think education really is a whole lot simpler than we make it. We don't use a lot of common sense. Of course, it all starts at home, and that's one of the things I'm very disappointed in, that the ones powers that be do not put the blame really where it's supposed to be, and that's at home where it all starts. I feel like at Smyrna High, if we did well, the parents did a good job. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's exceptions to every case. But education itself, if we follow the state guidelines or standards set up, and the teachers teach to those standards, and they evaluate to what they've taught, whatever program we're on, that's really all it amounts to. We can sugarcoat it or complain about anything you want to complain about, but to me it's really not all as hard as we make it out to be if we could ever get home and school together. School can't be the blame for everything that goes on. At school, at our school, now teachers, I'm not saying we're not at fault at things. I don't know of any system that's foolproof. But at the same time, they've got to have the support. And if we all work together, I think, we would end up doing a whole lot better job, at least looking like we're doing a better job, if we could get support of the parents a little more.
Yeah, and they want teachers and principals to be miracle workers, but yet they take away a lot of your tools. And I know over the years, you've been stamped as a pretty strong disciplinarian, and I remember back when the schools started having problems around here, and a lot of what we're talking about has caused the erosion in education, and we went and we started looking at school resource officers because there were some major problems. But I did remember going out and talking to you, and you at that time, you still had a handle on your school. I mean, you were very strong that way, and you didn't think that Smyrna was ready for that. And I certainly honored that, because I could tell that you still were able to swing the paddle, so to speak, to make sure that everybody stood in line. But even after that, things started eroding everywhere. And a lot of it was that they did not want the discipline in the schools anymore. And a lot of that came from the home of the parents.
Right. Yeah, I remember back when you started the program that, of course, the word was that we didn't want one. I guess in a way that was true, too. But at the time, Mr. Carlton was the superintendent, mm-hmm. if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And we had EAs, and they told me I could have two EAs or one SRO. So I took the two EAs because I really didn't think at the time we were having problems in the school. But I will say, as time has gone on, the SROs have been a great help to our school, not necessarily total discipline, but just working mm-hmm. with our kids, maybe giving them a better respect or aspect that to law enforcement mm-hmm. and them having a better opinion of them. And they've done an excellent job. And, of course, as time went on, it proved it was a good move.
And one of my detractors when we first started was Bubba, because he said, "This is crazy. Please, we don't want to be in the schools. We don't want to be And he said kindergarten cops is basically what he said. And now I said, "Now, Bubba," I said, "you need to take a look at it, because, you know, it really is going to make a difference." And later on, he decided he would try it. He went out to Rockville, and he was the SRO there. And he would talk to me in private a lot of times about some of the things that were going on with the kids. And he really did love working with them. And he finally admitted, he says, "You're right." He said, "This is the one job that I love more than anything else I've ever done." And he says, "When I walk into that school, I feel like a rock star." He said, "They all come up and hug me and love me, and they really care about me."
Well, he told me the same thing. When mm-hmm. I talked to Bubba a few times when we had an opportunity to talk, that mm-hmm. how much it meant to him to be an SRO, and what the kids thought about him and how they came up. And he had that knack of making kids like him.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And if we can do that, you know, kids will work for you real hard if you can ever motivate them along those lines. Mm-hmm. And that's another key to teaching, too, is motivation.
You don't make decisions on things that matter as much as education unless you start getting input from the people who have been there a long time, have seen it grow, have seen the changes, and what has been the causes of the changes, and some of the goals that are being put out. How come they don't reach out to people like you and others that can give them the logical insight that they need to go forward, instead of putting out these formulas that are basically not going to work? Because you know better than me that if you've got a child there that doesn't have the aptitude to reach a level, they're not going to reach the level. Maybe some of the other kids in the classroom. But yet, the teacher is going to be graded by that. I mean, they don't have, it doesn't seem like they can go from ground one and continue to work with that child and maybe be able to improve that child as much as he can or she can be improved. How come they don't do things like that? And the biggest question I got is, where in the world is the input coming from education?
Well, the only thing I can say from my standpoint, I've never been asked to be on any committee about anything. Mainly, I guess, it may be they don't want anyone that's going to speak out what they think. They want to find out first, before you go into it, I guess, how you think about something to make sure that you get enough on a committee or whatever it feels like you do to make sure it mm-hmm. passed. I guess that's pretty much the way committees work, I think. People may say they don't set them up that way, but most of them are usually set up that way. It's sort of like going to university. At university, you go to their classes and they lecture. I've never been any of that. All they did was lecture.
Mm-hmm.
What they do tell us is don't lecture. Then you go to university, and that's all they do is lecture. So mm-hmm. they're doing right opposite. I'm not for sure sometime it starts at the university, although I do think they're trying more and more to get in that direction that the university years past hadn't practiced as much of setting that example of what needs to be done in the schools. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the. I know that they've had one big lawsuit here or one big strike here that I remember many years ago. In fact, I was going to school, and it was in the 50s. And as it came to bear, the teachers acting as one, as a group, one out, and it was a major win for the teachers back then. But it seems like if they could join together as a group and start working with the powers that be, and if they won't listen, then, you know, there's other avenues that they can go to. But are they as together as they used to be?
Personally, I don't really know. Probably not. We got, you know, too many of us look at it just individually instead mm-hmm. of as a group. I guess we look at it as what's in for me or what would I lose mm-hmm. if we, you know, if I'm for this. So it's sort of like, to me, Republicans and Democrats, if the Democrats are in, the Republicans as a group are going to find something that they don't like and they're going to fight against it, and vice versa. It doesn't make any difference which party is there. The other one's going to take the stand against it instead mm-hmm. of what's best for the people. And, of course, once they get in, they'll always say it's best for the people, but it didn't seem to be best for them when they were running against each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we could ever get together like that, what you're saying, or stick together, it's sort of like the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like now the NBA's had that same way. It's going to be a lockout.
It looks like it.
But it seems to be almost about money again. Mm-hmm. That's what theirs is about, you mm-hmm. know. And I guess maybe education running the same thing. Are we doing the same thing because we went after the money under Bredesen and we got it? And mm-hmm. now you got to find ways to spend it, to trying to improve education by these means, but it's come back down to the grassroots. That's the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers are going to be the one they're held accountable either way, and it's fine hold them accountable, but they got to be in charge of something if they're going to be held accountable. I don't mind you telling me what I got to do, but let me be in charge of it to do it, you know, and I'm not for sure they feel that way.
I don't think education, and I'm sure you feel the same way, should be a political football. And we're looking after our kids. We're looking after our future. And I'm not too sure that we're going to be able to reach our goals the way that you have over the years, simply because we're making it the classroom so complicated. And it's really not, as you said earlier, it's not a complicated issue. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that and every teacher that I have talked to, whether they're currently teaching or are retired, they feel very strongly that, and the reason that they were able to get their teaching certificates was that has been their goal, most of them, their whole lives, is to go into the classroom and make a difference with the kids and watch them succeed. And it seemed like a lot of that has been thrown out in the discussion as it's becoming, they're more worried about the teacher's bargaining power and all that. And most of the ones I've talked to, that's really not the issue for them. The issue is being able to do their jobs the way they've always been able to.
We at Smyrna High, over the last few years, we were, the county has had what they call PLC, Professional Learning Centers. We had started that about 8 years ago ourselves before they ever started, where our teachers met together in different departments, decided what had to be taught along with the reaching the state standards, and once they did that, they determined how each teacher could use their own methods of teaching, but they all tested the same so they could see how they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And after they did all that, then they meet back together to discuss how the kids did, what they could do better. But what I did, I gave them the freedom to teach, and I backed that for them. And when they didn't do that, then of course we did whatever we had to do to get those that weren't online in line with us. But again, they determined what needed to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, then they tested what needed to be taught. Then we went from there to see how we could improve. And we've been consistent at Smyrna High over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been great at all things, but we've been consistent at it. But again, we're never going to be real good on any school till we can get the parents. In the private schools, you know, kids go to private schools. Mm-hmm. If they act up in a private school, where do they go? They send them to the public school.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the troublemakers out of the private schools if they don't fulfill, and then we get any kid that moves into this country. Say we get a kid that moves into ninth grade and he can't speak English, but in 4 years, that kid's expected to graduate just like a kid that's been in our school 8 years before they come to high school.
Amazing.
So something's just not right.
Yeah. I think we have a caller on the line, Bud.
Okay.
And we got to put our ears on to listen to it.
Yes.
Caller, welcome aboard.
Truman.
Yes.
Coach, this is Coon.
Hey, Coon.
I just came in on the tail end because I've been out in the yard working.
I can't believe you were not listening to Bud earlier.
We're going to miss Coach Rakes there at the high school being the principal. He did a tremendous job. I was very fortunate to go to school under Mr. Mac Williams, who was a big, strong disciplinarian, and had Coach Rakes my senior year as a ball player. But after school, we became very close friends, and I'm very fortunate to call him and Margaret and his daughters and his son-in-laws my friends. And he was very good to our two daughters when they was in school, and I was a little selfish when I heard him going to retire because our grandson Parker is getting ready to start over there, and we was hoping he'd be there to get Parker started off on the right foot. But I'm glad that he's able to retire with good health, and hope he enjoys his retirement. And the only thing I can see that he needs to improve on is making banana splits. And once he makes some banana splits, then I'm going to come over and visit him again. But I'm going to let you go. And, Coach, certainly glad you're my friend and you've done a tremendous job at our principal at Smyrna High School.
Thank you, Coon. Thank you a lot.
Coon is one of those people that definitely has made a major impact in Smyrna and his whole family. And I can't think of Coon without thinking about when we played ball together and thinking about his dad. I still miss Mr. Lee, and I really miss his fish fries.
Yeah, I do.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is a best-of broadcast of The Truman Show with Bud Rakes, the former principal at Smyrna High School. He'll be honored tonight, by the way, at Smyrna High School at the football game. Back with more of the show in a moment.
WGNS is your source for local sports. Chip Walters covers the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, while Brian Barrett, John Dinkins, and Donnie Johnson follow the preps. Talk about it weekday afternoons at 4 on All Sports Talk, Monday nights at 6 on the IDST's primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill, and Saturdays at 12:30 on the Die is Cast with Phil Dye. And hear your coach on the Prentice Allsup Heating and Air Coaches Corner and Cougar Corner every Saturday morning beginning at 9 from Cedar Bucket Restaurant. WGNS AM, FM, online.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Wrapping up the show today, a best-of rebroadcast of Truman's interview with former Smyrna High School principal Bud Rakes.
I presume that somewhere along the line, Bud, I know what they did for Larry Stewart. You know, Larry was the principal out at Las Casas, and they put his name on a bridge. And I can't imagine them doing anything less than that for you at Smyrna. So I presume that one of these days I'll be driving through and maybe in the old downtown area and see a big old statue of Bud Rakes sitting there. I don't know if you'd be on a horse or not, but I can't imagine anything less, because you have meant that there's nobody that does any more for a community than somebody in education. In all these years that you have spent, starting from the very beginning and coaching and being a principal and all that, I can't talk to anybody that's been in Smyrna all their life that they won't mention your name.
Well, I don't know about having my name there. I do appreciate it. They did name the stadium after me in 2004,
yes, they did.
2005. Mm-hmm. And
they got to go beyond that.
My family and all was there. And you know, I didn't get any for all that. And, you know, if they never do anything, it's fine, because the opportunity for me to be with the students that I had opportunity all these years, and ones I'd call my friends back from, like Coon, like Donnie Carter, who's like a son to me, and others, George Miller, and the kids that graduated this year, Nate Smith, Jeremiah Bryson, and all those in between have meant it to me. My teachers like Virginia Brogel, Sherry Price, Nancy Hendricks, Ms. Franklin, all the different ones there. David Miller was my assistant principal for years, and we've always had a good staff. They've always done their part. Mine is always to give everybody a job. Mm-hmm. And to see that they did it. And I didn't mind to say, I tried to hire people where I wasn't good at things. I didn't mind somebody being better than me, because I don't know too many people as good at everything anyway. But just association with them all these years, and I was able, like I said, to be with my wife all those 20-something years there where we were together like all day. And we were Mr. and Ms. Rakes at school, and we were home because I was boss at school, and then you know, she was boss at home, so it worked out good. And just relationship, you know, we had with our daughters when we was in school. Mm-hmm. So it was fun for me. It's like I got paid for a job that I was playing in, except every now and then a parent come in and made me realize it wasn't play all the time.
I think what you're going to find out, you're kind of like the principal emeritus, because even though that you're gone, now, of course, you're not going to get paid like a principal, but there's people that are still going to they will all either call you coach or Mr. Rake because of being the principal there, and that's the way it'll be for the rest of your life. And the only change is you're going to have a hard time adjusting to that, because I have been through that. Mm-hmm. Not going there every day and having those responsibilities that you have and talking to the people and solving some of their problems, or they'll solve some of your problems, however it is. You're going to miss that, and it's a close family connection there, and those people have meant a lot to you.
Well, it's going to be a big change, no doubt about that, and because you've been through it already, so you know what I'm talking about, and it's something you enjoy doing, and some people don't understand that you enjoy it or why you'd want to stay with it as long as you did, but it's just something that you have to understand yourself, whether anybody else understands it or not. It's just the makeup of you, and that's what you enjoy doing.
Have you started thinking about filling the void already in some of the things that you're going to be doing, because that's taken up a lot of your life?
I don't know. I haven't. Besides cutting my grass, and I did that anyway. Some besides doing that, I don't know. Of course, my wife and I, we eat out every night, and we'll continue that. It's cheaper to eat out than it is to cook, and then we ride. We generally ride, and that's pretty much it. So I guess, you know, maybe we'll go a little further in riding and what we're doing
now. Do you cover the Smyrna area, and you think back of some of the old places like Old Jefferson and stuff like that?
I sure do.
Because I still remember Old Jefferson well.
I sure do. I ride by places, and I'll see people or think about people and reminisce. Sometimes it makes me a little sad that I realize that, you know, I'm 73 years old, and it doesn't seem like I've been at Smyrna 52 years. Actually, I spent 64 years of my 73 years at Smyrna going to school, 6 years before I started school and 3 years to MTSU. So all of my life, you know, it's been there, and getting up, getting ready to go to school in some form or fashion. So it's going to be an adjustment. My wife and I, we hope to make it together.
You're the youngest looking 73-year-old I've ever seen. And I know that when sometimes Bubba and some of them will be talking about when you coached and all that. I said, he cannot be that old, because I'll guarantee you, you look more like a 50-something-year-old man than a 73-year-old man.
Of course, you know, the kids, you always look older than probably what you think you are. I remember a number of years ago, I paddled a kid, and I heard him, he walked out of the office and said, "Whew, that old man can still swing it back." That's the first time I thought of myself being an old man. But
I think you whipped Bubba a couple of times.
I probably
he,
did.
He told me you did.
At one time, I probably whipped most of the boys that's in the school at one time paddling for something, though.
Well, this has been a great show, Bud. And I can tell you right now, I appreciate all you've done for the community, all you did especially for Smyrna, and the people there, and you can tell how that city has grown and the leadership that they have, and a lot of it is a tribute directly to you. And I want you to know that there's a whole lot of people out there that think the same way I do. And I appreciate you being on my show. And if you get kind of bored or whatever, give me a call. We'll do something, or we'll come back on this show, and we'll do just whatever we want to do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you asking me to be on it. Thank you very much.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Today's special guest was former Smyrna principal Bud Rakes, joining Truman on The Truman Show, the Best Of program. Truman will be back Monday, back with the live programs here on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
This is your Good Neighbor Network, WGNS Murfreesboro, WETVLP Murfreesboro, W263AI Murfreesboro, and W270AF Murfreesboro.